Welcome to the American Anthropological Association's podcast mini-series in support of the 2024 annual meeting. I'm your host, Matt Arts. In this mini-series, we'll talk with AAA members about this year's theme of praxis and how it relates to their work. We'll explore the application of anthropology in the present and future as we prepare to gather in Tampa, Florida from November 20th through the 23rd. We'll also discuss how anthropologists are responding to the current challenges in Florida and beyond and get some tips for when visiting Tampa. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the next episode for the 2024 Annual Meeting podcast. I'm here today with Cheryl Rodriguez, professor in the School of Interdisciplinary Global Studies at the University of South Florida. Cheryl, thanks for joining. We really appreciate you having here. As the local organizing committee, we're really excited to talk to you this year about, you know, the happenings in and around Tampa, and also, of course, get your take, you know, a little bit on the theme. And so first, though, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, how you got in anthropology and your background?
Well, thank you, Matt. I am so excited to be talking to you this evening, and I am also excited to be talking about the upcoming conference. I've been a member of the Faculty of Africana Studies at the University of South Florida for 30 years. So I teach anthropology in Africana Studies. Africana Studies is a part of the School of Interdisciplinary Global Studies, but that doesn't change what I teach or how I teach. So just very broadly, my research explores the intersection of gender, race, and class, and the ways in which those social forces affect many other aspects of Black people's lives. Most of my work explores the impact of racism and other social forces on the lived experiences of people of African descent in the United States and throughout the diaspora. Most of my projects have been conducted locally in terms of field work, right here in Tampa, because there's a lot to do here. But recently I started working on a project on histories of racial violence throughout the state of Florida. So I'm extremely interested in ethnography. And the ways in which ethnography allows us to collect and embrace how it allows us to answer questions. And so I not only utilize ethnographic methods in my work, but I also teach ethnographic methods to graduate students. Briefly, I've been involved in a number of projects here in Tampa. I spent several years working on a project, on the Hope 6 project, which, was examining the Hope 6 project and its impact on, public housing residents. That really, you know, was a fascinating project that was that had people all over, anthropologists all over the country were interested in that because it was affecting the lives of many, many public housing residents. So I worked on that and other kinds of local projects that affect people's lives in many different ways. And over the last 3 years, I've worked on a National Science Foundation project on histories of racial violence in Florida. So that has required me to do historical research. And I have a team of graduate students who are also working on that. And we look at collective memory, and we look at the ways in which these acts of violence are acknowledged publicly. So that's just kind of a tidbit of what I've been doing over the last 30 years.
Well, thanks for sharing that. Obviously, when you speak of all the work that you're doing there locally, it of course brings up this sort of what's happening in Florida, right? It's sort of impossible to avoid that. And so Of course, that plays into the theme as well. And so, you know, with all the ways that Florida has been in the news for its policies that impact, you know, education, academic freedoms, personal liberties in general, how are anthropologists such as yourself, you know, and other local anthropologists there really sort of trying to tackle these challenges aside from the projects you've already mentioned?
Well, let me just start with this. I've been thinking a lot about how many of us have responded to these very extreme policies that have affected us, particularly those of us in higher education. And I remembered that at last year's conference in Toronto, my colleague Maria Vesperi, who's an anthropologist and a journalist, she and I spoke on a panel that was organized by a colleague from the University of Texas at Austin, Dr. Pauline Strong. And the panel was a direct response to the kinds of policies that we had been, you know, just so, we just felt so extremely oppressed by the kinds of things that were happening in Florida from the governor and from the Department of Education. You know, all of these things were really happening in real time. So I was happy that Dr. Strong organized this panel and asked me to speak on it, and she asked Maria to speak on it. And the panel, in fact, addressed anthropologists at institutions of higher learning and the assaults that we were facing, and you know, the ways in which this has affected our abilities to teach about subjects that addressed race, gender, sexuality, systemic oppression, and structural inequality. So that was a really important experience because we had an opportunity to share with our colleagues what we were experiencing. Maria had firsthand knowledge of the kinds of things that were happening at New College. I don't know if you read about it or heard about it, but faculty and students there were particularly assaulted by just a takeover of the campus by the governor's colleagues. So and that's still happening. So New College in Sarasota was already vulnerable because of a lack of funding, and so it's a small, you know, college. So there was a takeover, and Maria has been, as an anthropologist and a journalist, she was someone who spoke out very courageously on campus, you know, outside of campus. And so she spoke on that panel and has been writing about this. And she's retired now, but she's going to continue to speak about these issues. And then I talked about the ways in which the K through 12 school system was being affected, because I was absolutely appalled by the kinds of things that were happening. And I was appalled by the kinds of the kinds of materials that were being inserted into the curriculum. And I, you know, I talked to people about some of the examples that I had seen. So it was an outrageous kind of thing. I talked about the use of certain content that was being promoted by these, you know, right-wing capitalists who just were trying to make a quick buck by, you know, putting these really really insulting kinds of things, proposing these insulting kinds of things in the curriculum. So, you know, we had a really good discussion there in Toronto on that panel. And this year, I followed up in the tradition of that panel by organizing two panels on really the same topic, on academic freedom in Florida. So one panel is going to be on the impact of these policies on faculty, anthropology faculty, in faculty in higher ed. So that's part one. Part two will be the same, you know, the impact of these policies on our community partners, on anthropologists who work in communities. So we'll have a chance once again to discuss these issues. I'm pretty sure we're not the only people who are talking about these issues. I think that there will be numerous discussions at this conference. And in fact, you know, I just feel like people are coming and expecting that they will be able to not only hear our insights on what is happening, but also, you know, have panels where they can talk about these issues without really worrying about, you know, what, you know, without really worrying about consequences. I just think that one of the things we're trying to promote is the freedom to speak. So this is one of the issues that we're going to address in several different venues.
Thanks for that. Now, the theme mentions environmental injustice. So given Tampa's coastal location, could you tell me a little bit about how anthropologists are engaging with that and what we might see at the conference?
There will be a focus at the conference on environmental issues. And these are issues that certainly, you know, people who live on the water the way that we do here in Tampa, these issues are certainly of concern to us. And also, you know, we're vulnerable to hurricanes. We are basically, you know, in the Caribbean. We do have a lot of concerns and issues, and there are anthropologists such as Dr. Christian Wells, who is who works on environmental justice issues, and he works in brownfields. He'll be speaking about these on that panel that I just talked about. He'll be talking about that and more. And there will be students there who have, you know, created films on environmental issues. So that's going to be really exciting, and it's going to be inspiring. So because we need to be talking a lot about these, about the dangers that we're facing.
Yeah, certainly not just in Tampa. We need to do it everywhere, but Tampa's a great place to make sure
certainly
it's happening.
Is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, if we talk about you know, environmental issues, then we're talking about impact on communities. And much like the work that you shared, you know, that you've been doing over the past 30 years, you know, I'm interested to know a little bit more about, you know, what anthropologists in and around the Tampa area are doing to partner with local communities. Can you share anything with us?
Yes. Once again, I can speak enthusiastically about the work that we do in communities. I want to focus on one example in particular, which is Dr. Antoinette Jackson, who will be the keynote speaker. She's the chair of the Department of Anthropology, and she has done a tremendous job of pulling the community in on her work with the African American Burial Ground Project. We have seen just an explosion, if you will, in the discoveries of discarded and abandoned and just, you know, completely invisible African-American cemeteries. And one dramatic example of that is the Zion Cemetery, which about, you know, 4 years ago was found underneath a housing project. In fact, it was one of the housing projects in which I've done a lot of work. You can imagine the implications for all of this. I mean, it was a huge cemetery. It was probably the oldest Black cemetery in Tampa. And people had to be, you know, moved. Of course, the buildings had to be torn down. Anyway, Dr. Jackson was one of a number of anthropologists who were interested in not only the Zion Cemetery, but other cemeteries. And she has conducted research in counties all over the surrounding counties, our county of Hillsborough and surrounding counties. And all of her work involves public programs that are actually, you know, run by her, that are actually guided by the community. The community said, people in the community say, this is what we want to see in these programs. And this is, so this is how her, the programs are conducted. And it's also includes, you know, spoken word artists and other people who reach out to community members and facilitate discussions on how people feel about these abandoned cemeteries. So that's just really one example, but there are many examples of anthropologists who are very connected to communities. That's one that's really important and has gotten a lot of attention because of the nature of that work.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. It's important and certainly will be a good keynote, I'm sure. Now, you know, switching gears a bit, we always like to ask the local organizing committee, you know, a little bit about also what, you know, members should do when they're in town. So for those who are, you know, maybe new to Tampa, we're of course always just interested to hear, you know, like a local perspective. And so I've heard that there's a diverse food scene. Is there any, you know, is there any local dishes or particular restaurants you would recommend?
Well, first of all, you know that we're famous for Cuban sandwiches here. That's a historic tradition in Tampa, and different restaurants compete with each other to see who, you know, has the best ones. But I can, you know, first of all, to start with, I can recommend the Columbia restaurant, and that's a historic restaurant, and they're famous for their Cuban sandwiches and their Cuban and old Spanish foods. That restaurant is right there at the Convention Center, at the Tampa Bay History Center. People will be able to walk to the Tampa Bay History Center and enjoy outdoor dining at the in the Columbia restaurant there. So the Riverwalk is one of those sites in Tampa that is really beautiful. It's on the water, and there are a number of restaurants. The Columbia is on one end, and then at the other end, a few miles down the path, is Ulele. And that is a great example of urban dining. It is delicious, and it's different from the Columbia. It's the Columbia is more traditional. I also would encourage folks to go to Ybor City, which is a historic part of Tampa. That's where the cigar factories were many decades ago. And my favorite restaurant there is Seventh and Grove, which is an urban dining experience. Music, you know, lots of socializing. So lots of different restaurants in Ybor City, Greek, Italian, and Seventh and Grove is really urban African American, you know, soul food dining experience. Across the bridge from the conference is another favorite of mine. It's called the Oxford Exchange. It's just a beautiful environment and sort of a bookstore, huge bookstore with also wonderful food. So those are some of the ones that I can recommend. And we also have Hyde Park Village, which is very close to the conference center, and that provides opportunities for wonderful food. There's a restaurant in Hyde Park Village called On Swan, because it's on Swan Street. It's there's all kinds of exciting places and very diverse opportunities. We have, you know, one of the best barbecue restaurants, Big John's Alabama Barbecue. It's supposed to be the best barbecue place in Florida. You know, Southern Living gave it that designation. So there are a lot. People will have, people will enjoy the food here. Tampa's, you know, reputation for diverse cuisine will not disappoint.
Great. Now, you know, I'd also be curious to know about other attractions. Food is important, but, you know, there's museums, there's the water walk, mm-hmm. as you mentioned. There's the historic cigar, you know, there's the,
mm-hmm. oh,
the,
yeah.
you know, the history of cigar making. And so what else should people be looking for?
I would say, once again, I can't, you know, I can't over emphasize the Riverwalk, because there's so many things to see on the Riverwalk. So I encourage people, because it's right there. The convention center is right there on the Riverwalk. Ybor City is really fun and interesting and historic. There's an Ybor City Museum, where you can learn a lot about, you know, the cigar industry in Tampa, which was once a booming industry and which actually, you know, made Tampa. The Florida Aquarium is downtown. It's right just a few blocks from where we'll be conventioning. There downtown Tampa, in downtown Tampa, there's a historic movie theater called the Tampa Theater. That can be a very fun experience because it's just you can feel its history, the history of that that theater. And of course, there are a lot of water experiences. There are water taxis, there are floating bars, there are all kinds of things that happen on the water throughout. When you're downtown, the water is very much a part of your life, because there's so many things that are happening on the water there. The Tampa Museum of Art is right there. And the University of Tampa, which has those historic minarets. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of those, but that's a beautiful sight that you can see and experience as you walk along the downtown Tampa area and the Riverwalk. And I just want to say one more site that I'm remembering now is just off of downtown Tampa is a lovely little park, and it's called Perry Harvey Park. And it is a park that recognizes and honors the Tampa's oldest and Tampa's first Black settlement. So people and, you know, anthropologists are great for looking for those kinds of historic things. So I would recommend all of those.
Great. Well, Cheryl, thanks for sharing with us about your work, about Tampa, and having a discussion on praxis and, you know, set in the Florida context. So hope you have a wonderful conference, and thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We look forward to seeing you in Tampa this November. For more information, check out the conference website at annualmeeting.americananthro.org. And if you like what you hear, please also check out the AAA Podcast Directory for other great anthropology podcasts, including my own, Anthropology in Business and Anthro2UX. Thanks again, and see you in Tampa in November.